I feel like every LGBT person has a visceral reaction when they hear. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the finale episode of season 2 of Snapped. For the final time this season, we're your hosts. I'm Pete.
And I'm Paul.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. This week, we are dusting off a true gay blueprint, Carly Rae Jepsen's third studio album, Emotion.
Now, I think we've saved the best for last here, Pete.
This is incredible. This is emotional. It really changed history.
Yeah, legendary legs, no dairy.
Literally.
Like, oh, I think when we think about it being her third album, that's so confusing to me.
Yeah, her first album is so weird. And like, even if you just look at all the album covers, the first album was so like dark and like,
it was like
mysterious.
Yeah, it's like a campaign to like save a child who's in the war. Like she just, well, it's called Tug of War, but you know, she looks really like
scary.
Scared and scary at the same time. So following on from the worldwide success of Call Me Maybe and the subsequent decline in commercial success, her second studio album Kiss saw afterwards. Carly viewed her next album project as an opportunity to retract from the spotlight and explore different creative directions to take her music in. She sought to veer away from her previous bubblegum pop oriented work and instead found inspiration in the 1980s music and indie slash alternative stylings.
Yeah, I feel like the pop is definitely still there, but I do think she does go and play with electronic, with different composers and writers to not just give, like Kiss was giving very like Disney girl.
Totally. Like clearly Come Maybe came out, it was such a big success. They're like, now do an album of that, which reminds me a lot of what happened with Olivia and Sour, where it was, okay, Driver's License did so good, girl, put an album out.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Pull it together. And I think it sometimes leads to like one note a little bit, like the same sound. Mm-hmm. Because you're just continuing what you already know. And this feels a lot more experimental, like you say. Like, she's just trying different things to find her niche.
Mm-hmm.
Carly does go on record to say she was dissatisfied with the strict 2-month deadline to get out Kiss, like we said, and the lack of creative freedom she experienced while writing that record. So at the end of the Summer Kiss tour, she took an extended hiatus and took her time in developing her next album project, which we now know and love, Emotion. Across the entire development of this album, Carly wrote over 200 songs between 2012 and 2015 and scrapped 2 additional albums in the process. Girl, she was building what is commonly known as the Gay Library of Alexandria.
Literally.
Imagine you could just like go on the hard drive and pull those 200 songs. Like, you wouldn't play anything else.
But yet, Charlie can do a voice note in their own phone and people will find it. But where are all these songs that Carly's got in the vault?
Yeah, we need to break into her home while she's not there. Do a bit of like a bling ring kind of thing and just grab the hard drive and upload it. Oh, there are some gems in there I already know.
I know. So sometime in 2014, at the request of her record label, Jepsen would spend a month in Sweden writing new music. Now we know the Swedish girls, Swedish men, actually, let's give it up for the men and women in the recording studio, but they know how to make a song.
Mm-hmm. Miss Robin, Miss Lorraine.
Everyone goes to Europe from America to, well, from Canada even, to get that extra flavor.
Yeah, I think America does have a tendency to rely on polished, clean production, and Europe is more experimental, and I think that's exactly what Carly wanted from this album and era.
Mm-hmm. So these sessions would materialize songs like I Really Like You, Your Type, and the album's opening track, Run Away With Me, co-written with duo Mattman and Robin. The pair would also contribute Favorite Color and Gimme Love to the album, the latter of which was finished in a single day in a studio session in LA. So like, she's pumping it out, she's doing one and dones.
Yes.
That are legendary.
Yes, it's so weird that we think about these songs now, so many years later, but like, she did that in a day. Like, see, tomorrow when you go to work, you've done like 3 spreadsheets.
Yeah.
She's done this whole song. Like, when you think about that, I'm like, girl, what a star. I think it really helps to show that she is so creatively involved in these processes too. She doesn't just go in and like record the vocals, lay the beat. Like, she is so involved in every aspect between the songwriting, the production, the general sound of the album. I just feel like she's so creative, and this album lets people think, oh, she's not a one-hit wonder. She's not just like an industry plant, whatever they were saying in 2015. Like, she got a lot of comparisons to Rebecca Black.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh my God, this one song, which is kind of a flop, which Call Me Maybe is so good. Like, but anyway, people thought it was going to be like another one of those Nepo Baby, your parents put money into this.
Yeah.
But then this album flipped the script. She is involved creatively all the way through.
Mm-hmm. And Carly would continue working on the album until the deadline of early 2015. The final song of the record to be completed was Let's Get Lost, just one day prior to the deadline. LA Hallucinations was also added to the album at the last minute. No, Carly was making last minute decisions at the Emotion Clinic, literally.
She was throwing all of the bops on the lifeboat.
Uh-huh,
she was like, literally. Go. LA Hallucinations, just want to say thank God we got that. Oh, what a bop.
Not Carly getting the buzzards and the crows on Noah's Ark at the last minute.
2x2.
When the time came to decide on a name for the album, Jepsen's A&R executive mentioned the song Emotion as a potential title. Carly thought the title had strength behind it due to being just one word and enjoyed it as a concept. It's this universal thing that we all share, but it's so complex because it's never exactly the same. After seeing the phonetic spelling of the word, Jepsen said she was immediately sold on the idea. Wow.
Those little dots.
Uh-huh.
They did more for this album than ever. I think it just helps it stand out. Be less generic. It's all in capitals. Like, I think emotion encapsulates, well, like, obviously everything in life, but the feelings that every song gives you, how sort of it resonates with you. Yeah, I think it's a really strong album title for me.
Especially in the title track, when she does sing it, she's like, emotion.
Yes,
like
she kind of spells it out phonetically. Yes.
I gotta be honest. Claudia is reading Nene like hooked on phonics.
Yes, and alongside the release of I Really Like You in March of 2015, it was first reported that Jepsen's then upcoming third studio album would be released that summer. Emotion was officially then announced on April 10th of 2015, with the tracklist being unveiled on June 2nd of the same year. Emotion was first released in Japan. Wow, lucky girls. On the 24th of June 2015, in both standard and deluxe editions, receiving two additional bonus tracks. Then the album was released in the US and most territories 2 months later, on the 21st of August, before lastly being released in Europe on September 18th. Now, what the fuck?
That's so random.
I remember this. I remember like downloading it when it came out in Japan, obviously, because I love Call Me Maybe. I was like, girl, let me download this. But then I'm like, I can't even buy it. I'm at HMV being like, where is it? And they're like, Carly Rae, who?
Yes, and then it's charting in the US before you can even listen to it in Europe. It's a really strange choice, especially when the majority of the songs were produced in Europe.
Right.
But Japan love Carly.
Clearly, and they got rewarded, not only with the album 3 months before we got it, but two incredible bonus tracks as well.
Mm-hmm.
For its 5th year anniversary, Emotion was then reissued digitally as Emotion Deluxe Expanded Edition, that's a mouthful, on August 21st, 2020, and then featured the two previously mentioned bonus tracks from Japan, and featured the two additional bonus tracks previously exclusive to the Target and Japan deluxe editions, available worldwide and on streaming for the first time now, Pete.
Life changing. It also is crazy that Japan got it first, the whole album first, and they got Japanese bonus tracks. Then Americans could get the Target version, and we got it last and no bonus tracks for 5 years.
I'm speechless. That is so rude.
So nasty and so rude.
She was so nasty and so rude I don't ever bring anybody around me like that.
So nasty.
And that's what happened.
So rude. So nasty and so rude.
But let's talk about the album cover.
Juicy.
Mother.
Okay, so she's very pensive. She's reflective.
Why is she eating though? Like,
she's also eating her fingernails.
She's like, bent over. Also, it is weird that in the music videos, etc., I feel like she's giving her like pixie cut that she would rock for the rest of the eras, but then in this photo she's long hair.
Yeah, I wonder when it was taken. Like, was this taken ages beforehand? I'm not sure, but she is serving.
It is incredible.
I think it's so plain though, to be fair. Like, it's just very understated. It's just her and then the text with a black background. It's very understated. I think it really lets the music speak for itself. I think it's sort of reflective. I don't know. It's very minimalist, I think.
I think it really evokes that the world around her is so dark, and then all the like vibrancy is coming from within her.
Agree. Now, we obviously really like the album cover, but what about these singles, Pete? What came first?
Well, Paul, I just want to let you know that I really, really like you.
Thank you.
Do you want me? Do you want me to?
Unsure.
So, I Really Like You was the lead single of this album. It was released on March 2nd, 2015. through 604 Schoolboy and Interscope Records, serving, and I do mean serving, as the album's lead single. Now, this was not as impactful as Call Me Maybe, but it really did have an impact. I think everyone knows the song.
Yeah, this is probably our second biggest track for me in terms of general public understanding, and like people would generally recognize this song. You know, it's like that thing I find with Taylor a lot. Like if you go to a wedding and you're like, can you play Taylor? You're getting Shake It Off or We're Never Ever Getting Back Together. I feel like if at a wedding you said, can you play Carly Rae Jepsen? It's Call Me Maybe, and then maybe I really like you.
Yeah. And it also received an official music video on March 7th, 2015, which has garnered over 296 million views on YouTube. Now, the music video is odd. Directed by Peter Glanz, it stars Jepsen alongside Tom Hanks and a random cameo appearance from Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
The whole video is like Tom Hanks lip-syncing the song quite badly and like missing a few words.
He got the track the morning of. He doesn't know the song.
He was obviously he's booked and busy, but he's like landing that plane or whatever he does. I just feel like it's a really strange music video for it to have nearly 300 million views go for her.
Totally. I think the biggest draw of it is the fact that Tom Hanks is in it. I just feel like it's lacking a bit of a plot overall. It sort of starts and he's lip syncing the song. He's kind of making his way to Carly, like they're texting, being like, where are you? And he's too busy like taking photographs with fans, taking signing things. Hitting a ping pong ball. Is he famous for like, I don't know. I'm not sure about this man's work. Totally good for him. But I really wish that it was like he was going there to film something. Then they just do like a random dance on the street. Carly's there for like 30 seconds. Justin Bieber's there. Like I can smell him. He looks greasy. But I don't know whether using Tom Hanks lets the locals come in.
Yeah.
It's like a good headline. It gets people sort of talking about the song and the single. If that is the reason why the song did so well, or one of them, I'm really glad. And I think that was a good decision, even though I don't think it really like sums up the song.
Mm-hmm. So for the song itself, it materialized during the aforementioned month-long trip to Sweden, which Jepsen took at the request of her label. The song was written by Jacob Cashin and Peter Svensson and was recorded between California and Stockholm.
Now that does more for worldwide relations than anything else.
International fish. Victoria's gone.
We can't say that. Hollow Eve is shaking.
The song was conceptualized as a follow-up to Call Me Maybe, one that could act like the bridge between the sound and writing of Kiss and the 80s-inspired direction of Emotion.
Clever. That is so clever. I think people need to do that more, where if they're like changing up the sound, it sort of eases you in and takes you on that journey. I think that is such a success.
Yes, rather than people be like, Carly Rae has changed her entire self for this new album. Like,
girl,
can you just not write bops and just be happy and fun?
Yeah, again, going back to Taylor, I think that's something that Taylor didn't do super well on Red. Like, it kind of is a cultural shift from Speak Now, which is so country, to Red, which is so pop, and I think that was jarring. This is really clever to me to do it like a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Taylor,
the
song was created at the behest of Jepsen's then manager, Scooter Braun.
Boo. Oh my God, I hate that creature of a man. I will say I'm not like supporting Scooter, but like it was the right decision, definitely for her career. I think Scooter does have a good understanding of the music industry and what is successful, even at the disgruntlement of their own artists. You know, like I just never get over that Ariana Grande interview where she's like, I really didn't want to put Ghosting on Thank You Next, like it's too traumatic for me, I've never sang it live, I'm never going to sing it live, but Scooter Braun forced me to put it on the album. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're literally manipulating my trauma for that. So I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Questionable decisions, but a man. But anyway.
So I Really Like You peaked at number 14 on the Canadian Hot 100. Outside of Canada, I Really Like You topped the charts in Hong Kong and Scotland, peaked within the top 10 of Czech Republic, Denmark, Japan, Ireland, South Africa, and number 3 in the UK, and peaked in the top 20 of Austria, Germany, Slovakia, and Switzerland. Finally, in the US, it hit number 39 on the Billboard Hot 100. That doesn't marry up to my concept of what the album is doing or what this as a lead single did for the album.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was higher, for sure. I would say it was top 10.
I would say it's a top 10 song.
Yeah, and it is in this house. But I'm not in America, apparently. But still, like, worldwide charting, definitely had an impact globally. Mm. A really solid first single from this album.
But we must get into the crown jewel, the second single.
Yeah, she dove right into the mother lake. This song, oh my God, I could talk about this song for the entire podcast. Run Away With Me.
If you don't know it.
Where have you been, bitch? Where have you bloody been?
This absolute smash of a song was first released on June 24th of 2015 through Schoolboy and Interscope. The song was released as the album's second official single on July 17th, 2015, which is after it came out in Japan as an album, mm-hmm. but before in America. So it's hard to keep your head around when all this actually kind of occurs in the year. It received an official music video upon release, which has garnered over 48 million views as of September 2023. And I think like at least 43 million of them are me.
What a good music video.
So, so, so good. So the concept of the song essentially is just, you're so in love with somebody that you want them to run away with you. You want to see the world with them. You don't want to like sort of be tied down to any criticism, especially in the public eye where people are like scrutinizing a relationship. It's more just let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So upon hearing the iconic show-stopping saxophone track that we've already used multiple times in this episode, Carly instantly decided this was how she wanted the album to open before even writing the lyrics to the song.
She knew and she was right.
She was correct. Yeah, I think this is like, I can't imagine her discography without the song. Like what would happen if the song had went to somebody else?
Let's not think about it.
No, that's like the dark timeline, the darkest timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So Carly explained, it was the third track they played and I stopped in it and said, okay, we haven't even written it yet, but that Celtic saxophone is how I want to open the album. I knew it. The song was originally written over the course of 3 days, with Carly taking additional 3 trips back to Sweden to fully complete it now. Miss Thing said, I don't really care about the environment.
No.
CO2 gases in the air. Pollute it.
I will die sooner for having had this song.
Yeah, I would lose at least 5 years of my life expectancy because I've heard this. I'm happy with that.
As you should.
So on to the music video. Runaway With Me received an official YouTube music video on July 17, 2015. And the video itself was filmed and directed by Jepsen's then boyfriend, videographer David Larkins, and consists of footage the pair had filmed together across Germany, Japan, France, and New York during the midst of a promotional tour Jepsen was embarking on at the time. The music video was conceptualized entirely by Larkins. Now, father.
A father? All right, Catholic.
Let's give it up for man.
This man, this man did the damn thing. Okay, that was such a good idea. Jepsen then states that he had the idea, why don't I just shoot us running away?
The concept of, but like, thank you.
Why don't you just call Taylor up? And she immediately loved the concept. Carly then commented, I would do a show in Germany and then we get off and we go and rent bikes. It's really documenting the romance as well as the crazy pace at which we're moving during that time. That song probably means the most of all of them to me. Mother, she knew. Like, we just watched it there and I just kind of like get back into the vibe of it. I cried.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. She's so happy. Like, you can see the joy on her face. It is a bit Jess Glynn coded. Where, like, you can kind of see.
Jet 2 Holidays.
It kind of is. It's like Jet 2. Like, she was inspired. Miss Jess was clearly inspired because, like, basically, her boyfriend is, like, holding her hand on the video camera and they're, like, running through the streets of all these different cities. It's beautiful. I don't know. It just feels so real.
Yeah, it doesn't feel scripted. It does feel like little just moments for them.
Runaway With Me also received universal acclaim from music critics, as it should. Spin magazine referred to Runaway With Me as the best pop song of 2015 yet, an undeniable hit waiting in the wings for its moment, and a big, bold, beautiful masterpiece.
Come on, Spin.
And that's also my grinder name as well.
Big, bold, beautiful masterpiece.
Time magazine also wrote of the track, Runaway With Me marries euphoric Swedish dance pop with a pressing nostalgia for your teenage years. A time when the littlest crushes felt like time bombs and a time Jepsen is really, really, really skilled at evoking. In that sense, it's Teenage Dream 2.0, right down to the bridge, so catchy that she has to repeat it twice. What a nice bookend for this season. Sorry, I'm being self-reflective, but like to start with Teenage Dream and now end with this, I feel like they both give off the same being in love, childlike, pure feeling.
I know that's why I did include that review, because I thought reading it, oh my god, snap, season two
or Empire. Unfortunately though, Runaway With Me did not repeat the major commercial success of the previous single, and it only made a minor impact on the actual charts. So it reached in the top 30 in the Czech Republic. Now Czech hunters were streaming this song when they were out looking. Slovakia and Scotland, and it briefly charted within the top 100 in the UK, Ireland, Canada, and Australia. Do you think there was any impact with the fact that it was already on the album that it came out in June? Like, do you think that delay had an impact on these Seals?
Yes, I think the Seals fail in Japan because people already had the album.
Yeah.
I think they fail in America because all the girls and gays and theys who wanted the song had already got it on MP3. So, and then by the time it came to Europe, like, people were already bored of listening to the album because they listened to it for 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, not bored, but...
No, it wasn't new, so there wasn't as a repeat play.
You're not spending your iTunes voucher on emotion because you already have the rip on your phone.
Yeah.
So the third and final single from Emotion is called Your Type. Now, I effing love this song.
So good. One I don't think about as much, to be honest.
It's underrated. You're not going to get it the first time you hear it. The song was reissued as an official single on November 8th, 2015. Now, it was one of the multitude of promotional singles that she was testing the waters with. And thank God she picked it as a single. I don't think at this point there was a need for a third single.
Yeah, the boat already had kind of passed on this one.
Because it was already splitting the views, listens, streams, purchases across three continents that all had got at different times. I think it is an okay choice. I wouldn't have spent the money on a third single at that point, but I do like when albums have more than two singles. Personally.
Me too. Yeah.
But I don't more like, of an era. I think three is like the perfect for this length of an album.
Yeah, and certainly at this time in history, if you know what I mean though, like 2010 we had Teenage Dream Again, it had seven singles, like that's a lot. But at that time that made sense because we were getting three before the album came out. Then probably one on album release day, then maybe three after the album came out, sort of thing. But with digital age or just being able to buy the CD or buy it on iTunes, a single means less.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of a passion project for the singer, I feel, once we get to single number three, for example.
So the song itself largely took shape in Stockholm, as all good songs do from this album, alongside Remy and Jakob, the two writers. She stated that initially writing this during the early hours of the morning when she was losing her mind during a week-long strawberry-flavoured vape addiction.
What?
Now, let's just say this is 2015.
I was going to say, were there even such things?
Carly actually created the first vape, and she said, let's make this strawberry-flavoured. Now, people like her music didn't get it in 2015.
Yep.
But they got it now, and they're addicted. Lost Mary was lost until she sang, Now That I Found You.
No, but then she says, you can even hear my voice. I sound all gritty. It's because I've been vaping for a week. I'm like, girl, you're meant to be recording an album. Why are you vaping all week?
How dirty was this vape? Like, was it passed around the recording studio?
I don't even hear a vape vocal on this track at all.
No, not credited as a third writer. Strawberry vape.
That's Lana's, to be fair.
She can't find it.
Because Carly has it.
Not Lana having to go back in time to take the strawberry vape from Carly.
That's a Doctor Who episode.
Bring it to Glastonbury. Carly explained how the song was written for a friend who she had romantic feelings for, though didn't have the courage to tell them how she felt. She says, it was evident to me it was a one-way street, so I never brought it up. I didn't think it would do anything other than harm the relationship, but I had to process it in some way, and one of the things that's a gift in this job is you can process things and privately come to peace with them through a song. She never has actually revealed who the song was written about or has not told them personally herself. So one of her friends is bopping to Your Type in the karaoke bar and they don't know that it's about them.
Imagine having the impact though that you did this. Like in this era of my life, maybe just a bit before this to be fair, I was like in love with somebody new every week. Like at school, I'm like, I'm in love with him. I'm in love with him. I would have sang this song every day.
Not I'm in love, I'm in love. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with Daddy Janky.
No. Oh my God. Like some of my choices back in the day.
And today?
Very much today.
So music video wise, this is weird. I don't really get it personally, but I'm going to take you on the journey.
Yes. Okay. So it opens.
The video revolves around Jepsen's character, a young musician who attends a nightclub to sing karaoke. Now, before even this, she's sleeping on a bench. and someone steals her beats.
Yeah, paid promo.
Of thieves.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was a commentary on Scooter then stealing Taylor's beats.
That was again going back in time.
Yeah. During her performance at the bar, the camera alternates between shots of a large, excited crowd dancing to music, with Jepsen performing with confidence, to then a near-empty bar with a disinterested crowd, with Jepsen being awkward on stage, showcasing the fantasy and reality of the situation. Her character switches between wearing black and silver heels during her perceived fantasy and reality. The silver heels reappear at the end of the music video after the perspective has switched back to reality, with the narrator suggesting that imagination and reality need each other to coexist. Now that's a lot of energy for
11 million views.
I know. We're going from 296 million to 50 million to 11 million.
Yeah, we're going downhill. I like the concept of it. Like you say, it's about basically like a Cinderella story. You know, your dreams then becoming reality and you can do whatever you put your mind to, blah, blah. What's that got to do with the song about being in love with your best friend but can't tell them?
Maybe her best friend stole her beats.
Oh.
They don't make them beats like they used to. So, Your Type received generally positive reviews. Critics compared the song's depiction of heartbreak and yearning to the similarly themed Dancing on My Own by Robin. Its production was further likened to that of the synth pop band Churches. Fun fact, my favourite band. No wonder I like the song.
I don't know that it does.
Yeah, I feel like they're more just being like, it's a female vocal, young female vocal with electronic beats in the back. They're like, it's never been done before.
No, never. Churches own that.
In October of 2022, Rachel Seo of Variety ranked it as Jepsen's sixth best song.
Whoa.
Like, in the pantheon of 2022, there are a lot more songs to pick from.
Yeah.
Upon its release as a single in late 2015, Your Type was not a commercial success and did not enter any music charts.
You are a mother, but you are not mothering.
In early 2016, the song stayed unranked for 5 weeks on the Ultra Tip Bubbling Under chart in Wallonia, the French-speaking region of Belgium.
Whoa.
I don't know why that sentence just tickled my pickle.
Yeah, I think it's like, it stayed unranked.
For 5 weeks in Wallonia.
In the Bubbling Under. Now, Carly only picked 3 songs as singles from this album, but there are so many songs that I would love to dive into. Talk more about this track list is stacked. So it is time we zip right on over to our section that we like to call Slipped On or Chopped Off. We debated this quite a lot. Like, this was a heated discussion, some would say.
It wasn't the Great War, but it was like a little battle.
A wee battle, yeah. A wee battle. And Pete was very passionate about his Slept On. So I'm going to hand right over to you, Pete.
So for my Slept On, I picked I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Do you know what you say when you say, I didn't just come here to dance?
It's a statement. A star statement of legends. Originally titled Came Here to Dance, the song was written during the development of Jepsen's planned second studio album, Curiosity, in 2011. In its earliest form, it was written alongside Canadian songwriters Joe Cruz and Tino Zolfo. The song came to be after Jepsen started to drink whiskey that night, something that she hadn't previously done, and stated, I didn't drink whiskey at the time, so I was just singing, Hey, Joe's calling me over, Tino's calling me over, which are the names of the writers.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. Oh my god, I did not know that. Whoa, what icons to be put in the song?
They were like the flies in amber.
Yes.
And they were laughing and saying, you're going to keep that in? Like, that's so awesome. Boys in the club. Like, what? I want to be in that room with the strawberry vape and the whiskey.
Whoa. Oh my God. Like, she was really like in her substances era when she was planning this album.
This version of the song, however, never surfaced and was eventually shelved by Jepsen until she met Max Martin in 2012. She is doing everything.
Yeah, she was around the world meeting Max Martin. And then not putting it on as a single was kind of gaggy.
Jepsen thought very highly of Max Martin, describing him as the Wizard of Oz of producers, T, and decided that if she was ever to meet him, she would show him her strongest song ideas. Jepsen stated that her one intention with meeting Martin for the first time was to show him the original demo of I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance that she had previously written. She played him the original demo and the track showed it to him, and he was so encouraging and ended up staying all night with her working on it. Like, what a moment for her. She actually states that the inspiration for I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance came from spending a night out with her friends. I like the idea of going out with my girlfriends, and they were like, I just came here to dance, but you see them in their skimpy ass outfits and spend forever on their hair. Now,
she's anti-feminist.
Yeah.
She's a gold digger, she's a slut, she's a whore.
I just felt like calling them out and being like, no, you didn't, and that's fine, but have the balls to fucking say it.
She was drunk as fuck.
She's
on that
dragging
whiskey.
Them
yeah.
in the club.
Yeeted.
I was like, someone needs to be brave and say, I did not just come here to dance, if you know what I mean. Now,
the bravery award goes to...
Oh my God. She's an ally for gays, not women.
She's the Greta Ginsburg of anti-feminism? No, no. It's a really fun song. She still tours it to this day. Like, it was on the tour set list this very year. So it's definitely like a club anthem.
It's such a bop. It's so fun. It is like going out with your friends vibes. It's Prez. It's on Wig Flu. Like,
I love the bit of the beat where it's like, you know, the bit, not that's in like Dance in the Dark, but like it was. You're just gonna put the clip in because it just is infectious.
But what about your choice, Paul?
Okay, so we've differed on this one slightly, though. I think it was in my top two to pick. So yeah, we're representing the girls.
It's a top 2 week. Like, they're both lip-syncing for the win.
Yeah, 100%. And I hope one of them doesn't hurt their knee. Making the Most of the Night is my selection. Now, a fun fact about this, Australian singer-songwriter Bob Sia.
Anti-autistic icon.
There's a lot of antis on this pod. It was mostly written by Sia alongside the members of the American pop rock band Haim. Now, notably, the Haim sisters were credited on the track under the pseudonym The Trinity.
Why is this so, like, under cloak and dagger?
But this was literally, like, so obviously Taylor's just writing under a pseudonym. Who knew that the Haim sisters were the first to do?
They did it.
But you just can't prove it, girls. Oh, my God. So, Making the Most Tonight... Now, Carly has described this as Sia's baby. She stated, I was involved with it, but not in the same way that Sia was. I was very rarely taking outside cuts, but that was one I couldn't ignore the genius of. I was so happy to have her guidance on that. Now, it is weird for me to pick one of the songs she's not really as heavily involved with, but when you hear the song, you know the song, you love the song, it's so good. I just love the lyrics. It's all about Carly helping someone who's been through heartbreak and is worried about getting back on the dating scene again, with the lyrics in the chorus being, I know you've had a rough time, but here I come, I might hijack you. Like, it's very kamikaze-esque from the newest album of hers.
Yeah.
Just feels like she's going to interrupt someone because she knows better. And I love that. And I just love the beat of this. It sounds juicy, flavorful. Again, she still does it live. So she definitely has a favoritism for these songs that we love as well.
So the greatest struggle was... The Chopped. The bottom two of the week are Black Heart and Warm Blood.
T. And I'm not sure we fully agree on this, but I agree that they're probably the bottom two.
They just sort of... Well, Carly doesn't like Black Heart and doesn't perform it.
Mm-hmm.
And Warm Blood, to me, I'm like, So we have picked Warm Blood as our choice.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to the Warm Bloodies in the audience. So let's get into it. So the song Warm Blood in its earliest form was ironically written by Canadian songwriters Joe Cruz and Tino Zolfo during the same 2011 session as My Slept On Choice. Like, how are these Twisted Sisters from the same... Like, how can it be my favorite song, my least favorite song, you know?
Yeah.
But I actually like that. The dichotomy. I just feel like the vibe is very off with this one compared to the other... legendary tracks that there are on this album. The production is just very flat compared to the big bombastic electronic crescendos and poppy beats that we're getting. With her deliberately lowered vocals, it sticks out like a very low muffled sore thumb.
I was a bit surprised when you were talking about this because I really like this song and I really have nostalgic feeling for it. So when you said it, I was like, right, I'm gonna go in the fresh lens. It's very flat. I do agree in comparison to, I do think the other songs are very rich and this one feels a bit underbaked.
Yeah, and I get that she's saying that emotion is such a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So you need highs and lows and sad emotions and happy emotions. But even she can make a sad song sound good. I think this one is obviously supposed to be about love.
Mm.
The song was originally called Warm Love but then one of the producers misheard her and called it Warm Blood.
Yeah, which I like more.
Because I think it's Warm Love Blood Runs, and they heard Warm Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I like the name.
I love the name. I will say there's parts of the vocal in the chorus that I really love, and I think it does show a bit more of her range vocally. It's the production that kind of lets it down for me more. Mm-hmm. And we're picking between very small things. I think this album is phenomenal. So we got to chop something off. We've chopped off Warm Blood. Sorry to the fans.
Maybe her vocals were lowered because of the vape addiction.
She was definitely in her whiskey era as well here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a bit warm because she was a bit flushed. Now, a lot of the times we take our ad breaks, we take a lot of money from our sponsors because we want you to buy amazing products. This week, though, for our very last one of the season, we want to be more reflective. We've got a public service announcement.
This is a PSA. The blacksmithing community is in ruin. Were a war to break out, the frontline soldiers and knights would have nothing to fight back with. Even Excalibur has been removed from the stone. The entire world's sword resource has been donated to Canadian singer Carly Rae Jepsen. Please stop giving Carly a sword. She has them all now. Hashtag CRJ Sword No More. Thank you.
Hello to you all, and welcome back to the prestigious Snappy Awards. Now over to our hosts, Pete and Paul, for the first award, for the cringiest line.
Okay, so for this week's cringiest line, we're going back on Noah's Ark. He's back for a sequel, Electric Boogaloo. For the cringiest line in LA Hallucinations. Now we're going to the bridge, my favorite part of any song.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Carly says, BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows, what can I say that you don't already know? It's so dated, girl. It's dated. It's done.
It is camp. But why does she use alliteration for the buzzards but not the crows?
Well, what would be like TMZ toucans? Like, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know about that. But she is very like, I will say it's sort of saved by the delivery. Like, I actually really love this song. I think it's really catchy. And the delivery of this is really good. Like, the cadence of production. But when I like think about it too hard,
mm-hmm.
I'm spinning. BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows, what can I say that you don't already know? I remember the first time I heard it laying in bed, I was like, girl, what does that even mean?
And now for the second award of the night, the weirdest fact.
So for weirdest fact, we find out that Carly actually created having a separate version of a song. Taylor, you know, she's a copycat. So an alternative version of the song I Really Like You was registered to multiple music repertoires such as ASCAP and BMI under the title of I Really Like You in brackets pregnant version.
Me after a big Chinese.
With an additional writing credit from Jeff Halitrax. That sounds like a Doctor Who villain.
It does.
The version of the song appears to be the one used in the official music video, which features an additional line saying, I'm pregnant. Just kidding. Queen of comedy.
Yeah, that's very spelling is fun, hey kids, for me. I need to tell you
something. I'm pregnant. Okay.
Just kidding.
The registration of the song implies an official release outside the music video, although this has never materialized. Now, when we get Emotion 10-year edition, will we get pregnant version?
Yeah, I think it would be kind of camp if she had done like multiple different things she was going to say there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then on the radio, it could be any version of like funny quip.
Yes, and then she could have different colored vinyls, which each have the different.
Okay. Right, okay. Leave Taylor alone. I'm going to go Chris Crocker on your ass.
The awards just keep on coming. Now, on to Best Live Performance.
Okay, so for Best Live Performance, I have done a bit of a cop-out. So in this era, Carly performs the singles. Like, it's literally like the three singles on loop. But on the late night show with Seth Meyers, she gives us two of the singles in a medley performance. Runaway With Me and Your Type. Now, iconic. Iconic. Legendary. She's wearing a beautiful like white garment. She looks a bit like she's going to go to like Victorian England.
Okay.
From the song for the Queen. Mm-hmm. I think Queen Victoria would really appreciate it.
They're having a mother off.
I think Carly's live performances are okay. They're very samey. Like, they're very stand and sing the song with your band. in comparison to other stars we talk about, I don't think she has like, this is the routine of this. This is the concept of this. It's more singing the song. Mm-hmm. So I did struggle with this, to be honest. Which is not to discredit her live performances. Like, Pete and I have both went to see Carly this year, actually. Mm-hmm. And she was phenomenal. Stage presence was amazing. But not, like, conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
So there were much of muchness. But it was the vocals. The vocals are definitely giving.
What is she wearing? It's time for the Ugliest Merch Award.
So you know when you're in secondary school and you're allowed to go to the computer lab?
Yep, I know where you're going with this.
And you are trying out all the fonts,
mm-hmm.
and someone says, try Wingdings.
I knew you were going there.
What in the clean fuck is this? So I'm going to do an audio descriptive version of this. It's a plain black sweatshirt with, on the front, a pyramid, a lipstick, a bike, balloons, cat, pizza, then the word right, money, the Snap Season 2 logo, bow tie, high heel, then the words and sing, glasses, tennis ball, hat, plane, diamond,
binoculars,
trumpet, lollipop, and wear whatever. What does that mean? It's probably from LA Hallucinations.
Write and sing and wear whatever with literally every single Wingdings icon.
It's like, what?
This is like the, like, whenever the world ends and the new civilization comes, this is going to be the hieroglyphics of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm. Why was there no BuzzFeed Buzzers and TMZ Crows on the sweatshirt?
I really don't know what to say about it. It is the most insane piece of merch I've ever seen. I would love to know if anyone has ever purchased it. Does anyone wear it on a daily basis? What, can I get it on Depop? I don't know.
But even if I saw that in a charity shop, I would be like, okay. But like, I wouldn't think it's Carly Rae Jepsen merch.
Yeah, and you probably paid a good £40 for it at minimum at the concert at the time.
Uh-huh.
Now for a new award for the Snappies. Alternative album title.
For alternative album title, I kind of went for a similar theme in terms of like spelling it out phonetically. So I did Gold In.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is when I was listening through, I feel like a lot of the songs have the word gold in it. It's a very descriptive like feeling to me. And it's one of the reasons I like the album so much because it feels tangible. Like in Runaway With Me, she says, we could turn the world to gold. In Making the Most of the Night, my choice for Slept On, she says, gold mines glisten on the skin for you and I. And then also in LA Hallucinations, she said, there's a little black hole in my golden cup. And I just feel like there's an evocative feeling about that. Gold to me feels optimistic. It feels bright. It feels euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pick for the alternative album title.
There's high fashion on the runway. What have we got for our final award? Best look?
For our final award for best look of the season, it has to be the jumper.
This is high fashion. People in Utah just don't understand.
Now, the stylist walked into Barney's, grabbed the Valentino Rainbow Chevron cashmere sweater and said, I'm going to make history.
And so they did.
Like, if I ever saw this out and about, I'd be all, you are wearing the Emotion cashmere sweater.
Oh my God, you'd be so stunned to see it in the wild. You wouldn't know what to call it.
This cashmere sweater deserves a GLAAD award for its contributions to LGBT rights.
100%. It just says it's gay.
You cannot buy the Valentino Rainbow Chevron cashmere sweater unless you support LGBTQ plus rights.
That's in the agenda.
It's fun, it's vibrant, it's full of emotion. So it's a deserving winner of the final Snappy of Season 2.
Well, that concludes another iconic Snappies. Join us next week for more awards. Now back to the studio.
For the final time this season, we are back in the studio debriefing and wrapping up all things Emotion. And I'm just going to start off by going through some of the praise this album receives, not just from us, but from the music critics. So on Metacritic, the album received an average score of 77. Boo, that is too low. But it was praised for its pop perfection in catchiness, cohesion, and production value. Consequence of Sound wrote, a few artists have taken a logarithmic hit like Call Me Maybe as a sign to push even further, to make something better, more human and more electric. But Jepsen is the kind of singer who thrives on the stakes that unapologetic pop music offers. That was iconic. Annie Zaleski of AV Club writes, if there's any justice, emotion will propel her to superstardom, but even if it doesn't, she can at least rest easy knowing she made one of 2015's most interesting, effervescent records.
T, Annie.
Kind of prophecy. And across the board, amazing, amazing overall ratings. All Music gives it a perfect 5 out of 5. Entertainment Weekly, an A minus. The Guardian being pretty harsh with a 3 out of 5 for me. Pitchfork giving it 7.4. Now, Mama, that's difficult to do. Not everybody gets that. Peppa couldn't even do that.
No. Why is Peppa in a feud with Carly Rae Jepsen?
Am I going to collab with Peppa Pig? No.
Rolling Stone with a 3.5 out of 5, which, that's fine. But I do think where emotion really comes into its own is at the end of the decade, because it would continue to find critical acclaim in terms of the decade as a whole. So Paste magazine actually names it number one in the best pop albums of the 2010s.
Like, number one?
That's, there's a lot of albums
the
in 2010s.
The 2010s is stacked.
Yeah. I feel like the base is a bit high, but anyway, that's fine. With it reaching number 6 on Cleveland.com's Best Albums of the 2010s, Stereo Gum's number 9, and Pitchfork putting it at number 47 on their 200 Best Albums of 2010. So across the board, constantly being there, being in the conversation, even 5 years later.
It's in the top 50 of every single decade-end list it's on.
Yeah, I mean,
that is incredible. Emotion is considered a crucial factor in her unlikely career trajectory, following her stint on Canadian Idol and the ubiquity of Call Me Maybe to cult idol. Marked as a transitional piece, publications commended Jepsen for cultivating her sound, which re-established herself as a pop star for grown-ups. The New Yorker posed that emotion spared Jepsen from falling to her death and instead descended her to the bottom, akin to a rising Mindy artist. Online buzz and underground cred in tow, Jepsen, the woman behind one of the biggest songs of the century, now resembles someone whom she never had the opportunity to become at the beginning, an indie darling.
I just love that. I think that sums it up. She really could have fallen to her death. Like, this could have been the most embarrassing,
yeah,
slopped out album. I actually don't think it ever could have been in terms of like quality, because even her features like Good Time with Owl City and a lot of the songs off Kiss show the potential. But in the public eye, this could have been such a flop.
People loved like the memory of Friday and Call Me Maybe at the same time. Like, who are these wee girls?
Yeah.
Who can't sing, can't write. Like, isn't it so funny that it's so embarrassing, it's dislike their video, whatever.
And just to see, you know, nearly 10 years later, how the conversation has flipped so significantly on both Rebecca Black with her new music, and then again with what Carly's done, they've really both stamped their place in the music industry. And I'm just so proud of the girls, because it's so easy to fall away when everybody's making judgments about you and putting on the spotlight on you, but they rose to the occasion because they were themselves, and I just think that is such an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Stereo Gum wrote, "The lead up to Emotion played out like a lesson in what not to do with a pop singer sitting precariously on the edge between cultural ubiquity and cult following. Some blamed its promotional rollout, with the Japanese release arriving 2 months ahead of schedule, therefore susceptible to leaks. Elsewhere, others focused on creative choices, criticizing I Really Like You as a lead single, calling it the most damaging misstep that hindered Jepsen's ability to showcase her artistic growth." I do understand that, because obviously the majority of what the public will see is your lead single, and they will judge your entire, like, 3 years later, oh, well, she just did Call Me Maybe Again. But then also, there's people who wanted Call Me Maybe Again, but I'm like, did you buy Kiss? Or did you just like a song on the radio and demanded that someone should fit in the box that you've already decided that they should be in, you know?
Yeah, but like, do you think that if she had done Runaway With Me as the lead single, the album would have done better? If the campaign would have been better? Like, what do you think about that?
I think in terms of integrity, yes, but I think we needed the push of I Really Like You going viral, if you want to call it viral,
yeah,
at that point, to make people pick up the album. I agree that Runaway With Me is one of her best songs of all time, but clearly it wouldn't chart. Yes, that's to do with the album sales and the leaking and coming out early in different countries, but I don't even think people really know Runaway With Me universally.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was better to have one smash single that pushed people to listen to the album, as opposed to a single that I do think is better, probably performing much worse.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree. I think Runaway With Me is not just one of Carly's best songs of all time, but I would probably have to stick it in my top 10 best songs of all time anyway. I just think people really talk about I Really Like You as if it's Me by Taylor. Like that level of remedial pop story Taylor, but like, you know what I mean? They're making it seem like it's so basic, but you listen to that song. It's fun. It's well crafted. It actually has a really nice message as well. I think she made the right choices, personally.
100%.
The following year, Carly released Side B to the album, a habit that she would continue to do for the rest of her musical releases as well, which is also another incredible slice of 1980s pop sound, but we're not counting it as part of this original era, so we're not talking about those singles, we're not talking about those songs. If we were, we'd be here all night because they're so good.
We want to.
Yes, we want to, and if you want us to as well, we will cover it in the podcast. Just pester us on our socials, get the campaign going.
I would love to do like smaller episodes about Paradise Edition of Lana and Side B of this album. Like, I think it would be fun. So let us know if you're interested.
Staying on theme with Emotion though, the Gimme Love Tour, what a weird name to place it as.
Gimme Love.
Was her second proper concert tour, with 53 dates running from the 14th of September 2015 to the 4th of April 2016. Something Carly loves to do is tour the second album comes out. Like, for every album. Even The Loneliest Time hadn't come out yet when she did the tour for that album. And the girl, I can't sing along if I don't know what the words are.
Bitch! Don't you ever sing the Queen songs when the Queen is in front of you!
The tour as a whole, though, did receive really positive reviews and was a success, with most of the dates being sold out. Setlist-wise, though, she sings every song from the standard edition except for Black Heart. Kind of tea, mothers, drop it off. And adds favourites like Good Time, This Kiss and Call Me Maybe. Now, sounds like a great concert.
I would love to go to this tour. I did not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think she did. Well, I don't know.
No, I think she came to Manchester and London. That was it.
Ugh. Ireland girls.
Even Scottish girls are in the Great War here.
We charted this song, bitch.
I know.
Sorry for calling you a bitch, but like...
Lord, bitch, not bitch. You know you're not a bitch, Lord. Lord, girl, can you please help me out?
I think as a final point for our wrap-up, we need to discuss how Run Away With Me made Carly a gay icon. Now, I'm not saying she wasn't a gay icon for making that hot guy in the Call Me Maybe music video be gay as the twist, because that was one of the first pebbles thrown in the 2010s.
Agree. That was kind of Stonewall shaking behavior.
I think there is something to say about how gays love a one-hit wonder and love to be like, oh, you don't know their third studio album single, this. Like, there's almost like a protectiveness that we have over someone who is being booed and shamed in public, and we're like, no, she's perfect, and we'll leave her alone. It is very like the gay experience of knowing that generally you are not accepted, so then you're like, oh, don't let that happen to our little queen.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's like rooting for the underdog, but also genuinely someone who, like, a female vocal with a pop like sound period. Like, we're gonna latch on.
But this is, as you said, in the top 10 songs of all time, genuinely.
Agree. 100%. Well, I said it, but I agree with myself. Like, it is so infectious. It doesn't get old. I've heard this song hundreds of times. Every time it feels fresh, new and different. No one's replicated it since. Carly's not been able to replicate it since. There's something in the air about this song that I think, to be honest, until she does Surrender My Heart as the opener for The Loneliest Time, she doesn't really come as close to making that pop perfection again.
But she continues on making so much good music. But there is just something that creates her here. Maybe it is the cashmere sweater.
I just think if the right people hear her music, she will be unstoppable.
I feel like she's at the point where she's just such a darling for the gays that she's going to not really chart, but like, she's going to get a crowd full of people every time. Like, it sells out.
Yeah.
Now, people are bringing her swords, and she is performing Cut to the Feeling, which is, if you don't know, to do with a tweet where someone said, give Carly Rae Jepsen a big sword. I was shocked because obviously the meme is like from Emotion era, but then even in 2023, when we saw her, she had to actually collect upwards of 10 swords.
Yeah, the Minecraft store is...
She was holding a Minecraft sword. She was holding like a replica sword. She was holding a blow up sword, the master sword. Like, she was trying, like, she had to sing while collecting all these swords, and she has to hold them up each time like He-Man. There's just so much love, like, that many people care about her that much from their teenage years. She's just such an icon to me, and I'm so glad that she is our closeout artist for season two. Anyways, with that, we will wheel out our indisputable impact iconometer, which is our trusty system for calculating the gravity and scale of the impact an album and an era really had on pop culture. I'll start inputting it now, and the machine will reply with the percentage of overall impact.
Beep boop. Carly Sae Jepsen. Beep boop. Give mother a sword. BZZT. Run away with me saxophone. Buzz. Buzz. Buzzfeed buzzards. Calculating. 42%.
Screams of horror have been heard. However, we all know that the answer to the universe and everything is 42. So it is fitting. But this was a hard one for us. Do you want to start with the positives, Paul?
Yeah, let's start with the positives. So we have Carly becoming a gay icon. Like, we've just discussed it. She's mother. She really is. As well, that the lead single had an amazing commercial success. Even the number of views on YouTube that it had as well was really strong. People really know I Really Like You. And therefore, that does add a lot of points for this era. Again, remember with your pitchforks that this is about the impact that the album had on pop culture and the public perception. The quality of the album comes into play a little bit, but not fully. I think this is an incredible album front to back, but there are more negatives in terms of the cultural impact that we need to take into consideration.
Unfortunately for negatives, the album is commercially a flop, not critically a flop. Commercially, people weren't turning out for the album. They were probably on LimeWire or what would you use in 20...
I don't know if it was a torrent just at that point, but yeah. I was getting off of a random like zip.
VK.com.
VK.com, girl. I was in there.
Russian Facebook.
Yeah. The Russians loved Carly Rae, clearly.
She did perform a smaller tour for this one with less dates, although we know that the set list was
stacked.
And finally, the public perception really did fall after the first single. I was saying today is quite similar to the trajectory of Gaga with Art Pop, where Applause really was eaten up by the charts, and then GUI was bubbling under, and unfortunately it is the same here. I also find that this is probably the last era that the general public would know of Carly.
Yep.
With her next projects, Dedicated and Loneliest Loveliest Time, we know them, we love them, but I don't even think people could name the lead single from that one.
No.
The stamp of I Really Like You is remembered by everyone in our generation, but after that, not so much. But we all know that emotion will forever be the crowning jewel of Carly Rae Jepsen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this final episode of this season of Snapped. As always, follow us along on our socials at SnapPod over at Instagram, where we post behind the scenes content and visuals of everything that we talk about on these episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to Snapped on your favorite podcast streaming service so that you'll get notified when we make our grand return. If you've enjoyed this run of 10 episodes this season, please, please leave us a review. We love hearing from you, and the reviews help us to reach more Snappies like yourselves. We're also going to be doing a giveaway over on Instagram. Again, that's at SnapPod over the next few days. So keep an eye out there.
Signing out, I've been your host, Pete.
And I have been Paul.
And keep those pretty ears peeled for what could possibly be coming next at the end of the episode. It might be sooner than you think. We hope to see you then.
Bye.